Welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis, and I'd like to welcome to the program today Steve Benesch. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Vic.
Steve, you've got a book out that, I don't know, it's kind of depressing, Steve. There's some uplifting parts of it, too, but a lot of the uplifting involves lifting heavy pieces of metal. It's called Scrappers, Dayton, Ohio, and America Turned to Scrap, a documentary and photographs. Steve, how did this book come about?
Well, it's based on 2 years of work, really, and a series that we've run in the Dayton Daily News. We've called it Ohio Under Siege, and lately Fighting the Trade War, about the loss of manufacturing jobs and industry from Ohio and from Dayton, and really more broadly from the United States. And tracking those losses and the effect that it's had on the middle class and on our quality of life and on our incomes. So from those series of stories led me to this particular industry and how it's playing out in the Dayton region.
This book is loaded with black and white photographs, and you were able to take pictures of a lot of different people. How did you get to meet them and get them to be cooperative?
Well, it's not hard to find people scrounging to come up with things to sell around Dayton and the Dayton region. We're still in the grip very high unemployment and economic woes here really were happening even prior to the Great Recession, and which exacerbated the situation. So all I have to do is drive for maybe 5 minutes from where I work to find people all over pushing shopping carts and baby carriages and all types of wagons with their loads of scrap metal to take to the scrap yards and turn in for cash. I noticed this phenomenon years ago in my neighborhood, which is south of downtown Dayton, with pickup trucks that were trolling the streets just the day before trash pickup. And that to me was, and I had never really seen that up until that time. I would say that would have been the 2009, 2010 timeframe. And that to me was an indication that people were really doing whatever they could to make a dollar and to be able to make ends meet. So working here in Dayton, it's not hard to see the situation and the people who are having to try to get by.
Steve Benesch joins us. Aren't you originally from Detroit? I would think you'd be somewhat inured to this type of...
Yeah. Well, that's funny you say that. Yeah. I was born and raised in Detroit, but I've been out of Michigan now for many years, having left in the early 80s to go to graduate school and to find employment. At that time, we were in what was called, some people call, the Reagan recession, which our previous recession was quite a bit worse than what we had in the 80s. So yeah, I was I closely observed the manufacturing losses in Detroit, grew up with them, saw how families were affected, so was particularly sensitive to that. And now in the words of one authority, Diana Swank, who used to be with, I think was Bank One, she made the observation at one point that what's happening in Detroit and what happened in Detroit was spreading throughout the country as manufacturing job losses have accelerated. So this is, indeed, I was prepared for this project from my upbringing, really, and my experience with deindustrialization in the city of Detroit.
Steve Benesch joins us. His new book is Scrappers, Dayton, Ohio, and America Turned to Scrap. You included a promotional flyer with the book that I have, and I'm assuming that you wrote this copy. You write that Scrappers, a documentary and photographs of more than 50 stark and unsettling black and white images from Dayton, Ohio, offers answers. It's about the rise of urban armies of the poor devoted to a new economic boom in scrap metal. Scrap is among America's top exports. In an age of downward mobility, deep industrial decline, unchecked globalization, and political drift, this book is a vision of what we are becoming as a nation and a glimpse of a grim future we still have a chance to avoid. How do we avoid it?
Well, I think with reindustrializing and with a renewed emphasis on manufacturing and value-added production, the statistics are overwhelming when you begin to examine them. I'd like to throw a few numbers out there if I could. In the last 10 years, we know for a fact that the United States has lost more than 50,000 manufacturing facilities. Statewide in Ohio, we've lost 3,500. In Montgomery County, 200 factories have closed in 10 years. Our Ohio job losses were up to 600,000. The inflation-adjusted annual private sector payroll in this state shrank by $22 billion annually from a decade earlier. So the effects of this loss of industry are being seen all over the country. And especially in states like Ohio, where manufacturing has long been the bedrock. One thing that is encouraging, without getting into all the causes of why this happened, but what is encouraging is you're seeing a dialogue among the political and economic elite now on what it would take to bring manufacturing back to the United States, and what sort of policies need to be implemented, and those would include most people would authorities would tell you trade and taxation reform, and R&D funding, and really a more focused national agenda that's in the national interest, the domestic interest, and I think what we've seen just in starting in 2012, we began to see a number of studies coming from some of the blue chip think tanks in the U.S., including the Brookings Institution and a number of others, even Harvard and I think MIT. Came out with studies. You can find them all over the place, talking about how the countries failed to really manage globalization in a way that is in the national interest. And I think a couple more numbers I want to throw out there is that not long ago, manufacturing accounted for something like 20-22% of gross domestic product of the United States. That's since fallen to around 10% or so. Meanwhile, the financial services sector has gone from about 10% to above 20%. So those are just two numbers that tell you a lot about what's happened to the American economy and why scrap metal has become our number one. Last in 2011, I think, was our number one export to China. We are scrapping our industry. Our homes have been lost to foreclosure. We've got 7,000 empty homes in the city of Dayton, which can't be protected at all times. So they are being broken into and the plumbing ripped out. Our factories have been, many of them, stripped and sold for scrap and so on. So what we see going on here is a perfect storm and an economy that just can't seem to get out of the ditch. Despite the lower unemployment figures that we see, the incrementally lower unemployment figures, I think we're down now to 7%. Really don't include the most widely reported ones don't include long-term unemployment, which is easily twice that or more, maybe 14-20% real unemployment in this country. So in order to sort of pull this country out of a ditch, I think the consensus is emerging that we need the type of trade and taxation reform to rebuild basic industry and to create atmosphere or environment in which more advanced high-tech industry can thrive here. And I guess that wraps my thoughts up on that to some degree.
Those unemployment numbers you were just speculating on, those are almost Spain-type numbers. That's scary.
Well, that's just I would disagree with speculation. I think they're pretty firm. And again, I mean, I'm being general with the figures, but there's been much debate on how those figures are even computed and reported, because so many slip off the unemployment rolls, or they're just simply not counted when they're long-term unemployed. Hmm. But bear in mind, I mean, the commonly cited figure is 5 million manufacturing jobs lost in 10 years through offshoring, largely, and trade deficit, in which the products that we use every day here are imported rather than being produced domestically. In our clothing industry, I mean, we've lost 90%+ of our clothing industry jobs to foreign imports. So, I mean, that's just one example. But this is where we're talking about perfect economic storm, where scrap metal suddenly becomes among our top exports.
That's a scary thought. Steve Benesch joins us. He's a reporter for the Dayton Daily News. His new book is Scrappers, Dayton, Ohio, and America Turned to Scrap, a documentary and photographs. He has been kind enough to call into us from the headquarters of the Cox Media Group in downtown Dayton. And I was amazed to read about this abandoned facility where a lot of these people are digging metal out of the ground. It's almost like they're mining for old.
Exactly.
They're mining for the old manufacturing base down there.
Yeah, but you could put it that way. That was something that I came upon in reporting this book and working on this book, the old Franklin Iron and Metal Scrapyard. Yeah, that was to me the most third world looking aspect of this whole situation here in Dayton. These were unemployed. The people mining this field, which is along a set of railroad tracks, were all of them at one time were employed in fairly well paying fields like construction and metal welding and that kind of thing, and they found that they discovered really that there was this empty field that had been already been sort of grown over, where a lot of this metal that wasn't really worth very much now had some value. Now, this scrapyard had probably been closed, I'm thinking, 20 years. So here they are now digging in the dirt here for the brass and the iron and the, maybe even, if they're lucky, copper that they can unearth. And the digging was all quite random. It wasn't as if they had any real idea of where the most valuable metal was, but they were pretty much unearthing this this area that was about, I don't know, maybe 5-10 acres, and turning that metal in, and doing it in the harshest type of conditions. The other point I'd like to make is that being a scrapper is no easy job. I mean, these guys work as hard or harder than anybody would in a salt mine. So it's not as though this is some easy thing to do. I mean, when you're pushing a shopping cart with, I don't know, 60, 70 pounds of metal around town, that's not something that's done by a person who's not in reasonably good physical condition.
I must compliment you on these photos. They are very striking, and I'm wondering...
Thank you very much.
Have you gone back and found any of these people who are in the photographs and said, here, look, you're in my book?
Well, one of the natures of the I have not, I'm out all the time, but I don't think I've run into any of the folks. I'm sure they're out and about now doing what they were doing when I photographed them. And the book's been out for a couple months now, and I've been working on other stories and running around town doing all kinds of business and business-related journalism and so on. Honestly, Vic, I've just not run into any of these guys, but I carry a copy of it around with me, and if I see one of them, I'll flag them over and show them. I've got copies of it at Dayton Metro Library, at Centerville Washington Township Library, and at Oakwood Library. They're all checked out right now, so the book is available. If somebody wants to visit a library and get on the reserve list.
I was just curious. I could picture you driving down to that old yard by the railroad tracks with the book and just walking up to a guy and going, remember me? And showing him the picture.
Uh-huh.
You'll get around to it.
Sure.
Steve Benesch joins us. You mentioned earlier that our number one export to China is scrap metal. And I suddenly flashed. I had this image. I seem to remember my dad, who was a World War II veteran, being incensed about the fact that in the 1930s, mm-hmm. we shipped all this scrap metal to Japan,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of it came back to us in the form of bombs and bullets.
Right. Right.
And now with the increasing militarization mm-hmm. of China,
right.
what do you see in the future?
Well, this is the relationship between the United States and China is it's been described as frenemies and a shifting, unclear type of alliance where politically and militarily China is a threat. I mean, we've had a number of revelations just in the last couple months about cyber spying on the part of the Chinese military.
Mm-hmm.
It's very embarrassing, I think, to the United States government and to the multinational corporations that use Chinese labor. So there are considerable tensions. At the same time that this is going on, China's state industries are attempting to gain footholds in American manufacturing. There was just a front page story in the New York Times about China trying to get into the automobile supply chain in the city of Detroit. So at the same time that China seems to be asserting itself militarily, our trade with China continues and grows in some respects, and they have military units that are seeking out our commercial and military secrets. And proprietary intellectual property and so on and so forth. So how this relationship plays out is a very, very critical question facing our political and economic elite. There are the optimists. We've been hearing this for years. The optimists believe that China, by their closer association with the United States, will become more democratic, but the pessimists think that the Communist Party of China is not likely to give up power anytime soon. It could be a century before that even happens. So you've got this state-controlled economy that has this critical trade relationship with a democracy, private enterprise type of system, and are the Chinese becoming more like us, or are we becoming more like China? You know, that's another important question here. Mm. When you look at the too big to fail bailouts and the implicit taxpayer commitment to these gigantic institutions, and the aftermath of the Wall Street bailouts, we saw no breakup of these institutions, and the sense that taxpayers will stay on the hook, you know, for a long time. I mean, that seems almost more like a state underwritten, situation with our too big to fail institutions. So, are we becoming more like China, or are they becoming more like us? I mean, do you see my point?
Well, if we were becoming more like China, wouldn't we be building up our manufacturing? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Steve.
that may be a good idea, you know.
Yeah.
Now, as you well know, in the presidential race and election through Ohio, Obama and Romney never passed up an opportunity to show up on a factory floor and talk about how strongly they believed in manufacturing and value-added production, because I think it's pretty clear that in all the surveys I've looked at that the American people understand the need to stop this hemorrhaging of jobs and plants and this offshoring of our manufacturing production because we become too dependent on imports and so on. So I think that there's a recognition, you know, and Obama and recently the new Treasury Secretary Jack Lew has been touring the country and making speeches anyway about the importance of manufacturing and stopping the loss of industry in the U.S.
That reminds me of back in the 1990s. I had a very conservative person on the program who gave me a quote. He said it was an ancient Chinese proverb that seems even more true today. His name was Charlton Heston, the late mm-hmm. Charlton Heston, and he said, "We live in interesting times."
Oh, absolutely. There's no question. Who would have ever thought that you'd be seeing, you know, so many people trying to make a living through this kind of activity? And in the words of one of the reviewers who read the book, cannibalizing our future, with a collection of turning our manufacturing plants into scrap to live. So it seems to me that it took generations to build and to establish our industrial supremacy, and we may be looking at generations to recapture that.
Steve Benesch joins us. His book is Scrappers, Dayton, Ohio, and America Turned to Scrap. And he is a reporter for the Dayton Daily News. How'd you get into the newspaper biz? What's the story?
Well, gee, let's see. I wanted to be a reporter from a very young age. And I attended the University of Missouri in Columbia and went to work while I was still in school at the Columbia Daily Tribune, which is a great, small, independently owned newspaper. From there, I moved to the Cincinnati Enquirer. I was there for a couple of years. And I've been at the Dayton Daily News now for about 19 years. And it's always been a great business for me. I've enjoyed it immensely. And with learning photography and documentary photojournalism and so on has been a very exciting thing for me.
These photos and Scrappers are black and white, and there's something so special about a black and white photo. I know you did this on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that black and white can be more vivid. It strips away the everything but the essentials of a photograph, and most people dream in black and white, so it resonates, you know. And these images, I think, stick in your mind and can be more powerful. Not that they're always more powerful, but they can be more powerful for their stripped down appearance and capturing of the essentials. I also used 120 film, or I think it's known as 2.5, which gives me a very fine resolution really captures every little detail. So,
what kind of camera?
Well, I used a Chinese-made camera called a Holga 120N, which I thought symbolically was appropriate. It's manufactured in Hong Kong. The film I used was Kodak film. Right at the moment now, Kodak is still in Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
Yeah.
So there's some symbolism built into this book. For those reasons.
I'll say. Well, it's really been great to have you on the program, Steve, and I really appreciate you sharing your stories and ideas with our listeners.
Oh, you're more than welcome, Vic, and I like to tell people that of everybody in the country, I've got a job for life because, you know, as our economy improves, I can cover that, or if we go the other way, I'm here to cover it as well. So this has been a fascinating journey for me.
The book is Scrappers, Dayton, Ohio, and America Turned to Scrap, a documentary and photographs by Steve Benesch. And he's got a blurb here from John Talt, an economics columnist for the Seattle Times, who wrote, "A century ago, Dayton was the Silicon Valley of its age, and its decline is both astonishing and tells a broader story of what has happened to America. It's a fine work, both arresting and heartbreaking." And this is also available as an electronic book for all the folks out there that are into that kind of thing. You've got it loaded on the Nook and the Kindle, right?
I do, and it's available for all Apple devices at the iTunes Store and at Google Play for the Android. And it's at blurb.com as a soft cover.
Well, you plugged into all the platforms there. I'm impressed.
You bet. No, I wouldn't fail to do that. I'd like to get this some wide distribution, and I'd like people out there to read it and examine it, and I think they'll learn something. I think there's information here that's not widely distributed, and I think they'll get a sense of what the new economy looks like.
Well, we really appreciate your time.
Well, thank you so much, Vic, for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Steve Benesch has been my guest. The book is Scrappers, Dayton, Ohio, and America, Turn to Scrap. For the Book Nook, I'm Vic McCunis. One of the hottest writers in the science fiction genre these days is a guy named John Scalzi. John grew up in Southern California, but he calls Southwest Ohio home these days. He's out on a book tour for his new science fiction novel, The Human Division, and he's going to be coming through our area for a book signing. Tune in next week. We'll tell you all about his new book, about where he'll be doing his book signing, and we'll also talk about things going on in his career, like the fact that there's a movie being made out of one of his books. He's also involved with a new computer game and lots of other stuff. That's John Scalzi, The Human Division, in the Book Nook. The Book Nook is recorded at Soundspace in Yellow Springs and engineered by Chris Hertzler.